appreciate you people coming out to be with us. Now, first of all, a man in his right mind, as we would say, would never set a tent way out like this. You just don't do that as a rule. But because God does things in kind of strange ways sometimes, He has different things that He does in different ways and for different purposes. So then we just find ourselves, we are here, and we just have to cope with the dust and the problems and whatever. So I appreciate you coming out to be with us. We enjoy being here in the state of Colorado and New Mexico. We've ministered also in New Mexico. Wonderful people all through the Valley of San Luis and the different parts of New Mexico and Colorado, around through the West, Arizona, different places we've been, California. We've ministered through these places, Texas, and found that there are some wonderful people in the western parts of the world. Spent quite a lot of time in the West, and of course the Lord has blessed us in the East. He's blessed us around the world. We've been fortunate, and we've been able to preach around the world. And the Lord has blessed us. So it is, as Jesus said, to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And we like to preach under the tent. I enjoy preaching under the tent. I've seen this little tent filled up, and people just standing around outside. The blessings of the Lord comes, and we have a wonderful time. This is the first time that I've been under the tent, this tent, in quite a while. I think the last tent meeting I had in this tent was down in the areas of Florida. And we had a wonderful meeting there. God really brought the people out, and we had a wonderful respond. And the people listened very good. We had a wonderful time in the Lord. We had been for quite a long while using another tent. We had another tent, a big five-pole tent that we used. And it was a humongous tent. This is very small compared to it. And sometimes we would set just one pole of it. And it was 140 round. It was a big tent just with one pole. And then sometimes we would set the five poles. But the Lord has always blessed us. We've preached under numbers of tents. And if we preached under tents that was not our own, we've seen them packed back to the curtain, great big tents. And I remember one crusade we had in Florida where the people just poured in. But here, we set way back out away from anywhere as to any town of any size, just right out here in a dusty field. And we felt that we were supposed to do this. And one of the reasons, a lot of people that are religious, now not speaking of people that are non-religious, people that are non-religious, you know, you don't expect them to move in the Spirit because they don't know anything about the Spirit. A man that's not a mechanic, you don't expect him to tell you anything about a car because he doesn't know anything about a car. But people who walk in the Spirit and who live with God in the Spirit, your ministers especially, the Lord deals with them in strange ways sometimes. The Bible said, I'll have a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And we're only peculiar to the world to the extent that we are zealous of good works toward Christ. We believe that a person should be the right kind of person. We do not believe in wars and fighting and all the frustrations and the lust of the flesh and the frivolous things of the world as to those things that destroy mankind and destroy the morals of the earth and all the wonderful things that God has given for life. The Bible says, God said, I will destroy them that destroy the earth. And when you are killing and bombing and when you are indulging in things that will destroy morals and decencies and take away men's right. And when you are doing things to invite trouble and problems and perplexes, wilderness of mind and all the sorrows of heartaches and all fears, all kind of frustration, things that will build anxiety and take away the peace of humanity, God isn't pleased with that. See, we who are spiritual, We deal in the spiritual world. And that means that we are acquainted with spiritual things. We're looking beyond the veil. And we are acquainted with spiritual things and we have spiritual experiences. We have great, wonderful spiritual experiences. Has it ever, have you ever just stopped to think, and I hope you don't mind me talking with you just a few minutes here, but have you ever stopped to consider that though you are a natural individual, though you have natural hands and you have natural eyes and you have natural ears, and you live in a natural world with natural people and you do what is referred to as natural things, and you enjoy the exuberance of the flesh as to whatever there is to do in the flesh. But has it ever dawned on you that even though you are such, and though you do enjoy this world as to the natural things, that your heavenly Father, that God Almighty who created you is not natural, and that God who made the trees and made the birds and made the ocean and made all of the wonderful things like the stars, that He is not natural, not at all, that He is a spirit. The fourth chapter of the book of John tells us that He is a spirit. And the Bible tells us that if we worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth, for God seeketh such to worship Him. Is it then any little wonder that His ministers should be spiritual? Or is it something to be amazed at when Paul the Apostle, who is referred to as the Gentile Apostle, when it's referred to as that which is a spiritual man, and when he made the statement that I would that you were spiritual, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. He said, seeing that you're babes in Christ, as in his day, he said, I cannot do it. He said, but I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. So then seeing this, that God is a spirit, then when we come together, we seek to introduce to you a world of spirit. There is a spirit world, and there is a natural world. And this natural world did not create the spirit world, but the spirit world created this natural world. And when God, who is a great spirit, created you and created me, He created us and He created the world and all that's in the world. Everything in the world emanated from our Heavenly Father. And He made you out of the dust. But in the beginning, as to Adam and Eve, your forefather, mother, He made them out of the dust, but He raised them to a spiritual level. And like the sun comes up in the morning and the glory of that illumination is all over the earth, and the springtime comes around and the beautiful flowers begin to blossom and all the lovely things are seen because of that beautiful sunlight, then that's the way that God intended it for you and for me, that we should blossom like the flowers of the earth. And that the blessings of the Lord should be upon us in a great and in a mighty way. And that we should love one another. We should walk with one another. And we should care for one another. And we should help one another. And we should be an example to one another. Love is not in word, but in deed. And the Bible teaches God is love. And the Bible speaks of wars, problems like this. Where does it come from? The Bible said it comes from the lust that warreth within your members. See, so He doesn't like lust. He wants love. And He doesn't like lust. And someday He will destroy lust. And someday He will destroy people that lust. Because He says the world and all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. And the Bible said the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now that sounds strange because we say, well, God created the world and now all of a sudden He wants to take the world away. And He created people and now all of a sudden He's going to take the people away. But we get all confused unless we have a spiritual leader. A sheep must have a shepherd. They cannot lead themselves. And Jesus one time looking across Jerusalem, He looked at him and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would her brood? But ye would not. Now your houses are left unto you desolate, until ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Speaking of Jerusalem, we've been in there about 10 different times, and we preach there. We have a place in Jerusalem that God has given us inside of the city, the old city of the old walls. See, and Jesus spoke there like this. Now, why is it like that? If God made Adam and Eve in the garden, if God illuminated them with the great light of His glory, and if He raised them out of the dust and put them in a higher level that they might be illuminated with this wonderful light of His glory, then He had a purpose in that. But the thing is, beloved friend, Adam and Eve did not stay in the radius and the confines of that illumination. They did not listen to God, and neither does mankind listen to God today. As we preach around the world, we find that mankind does not listen to God today. They will follow the educational system to a T. They will follow to get the diplomacies of life. They will apply themselves as to have the diplomacies of life so that they can have the benefits of life. And that is a wonderful thing to people in this world. But on the other hand, when we stop and think about it, if the diplomacies of life and the great knowledge institutions, if that is the answer to it, if money, fame, popularity, dwelling in the upper echelon, being part of the people that are celebrities and dignitaries of the earth, having securities of the earth, of houses and lands and benefits, of having a healthy body as to physics and the sports and whatever, if this is the answer to world's problem, and if that's what we need, why is it that men still die? Why is it that women still die? Why is it that people still die? Why do they pass away? If that's the answer, if wars and all of these other things that we're having, that in this we conquer and we take a country or we take over a people's government, sometimes forced to do something for the sake of the people in that country, or if we do that. Now, if that's the answer to it, fighting and killing, why is it that we still have troubles and problems and our little ones are ravished and stolen away? And why is it we still have all kind of problems with sickness and diseases and that cannot be cured? Well, the Bible said in that day there will be no healing medicines. And today they just about stack them in like cordwood. And they just can't do anything for them. They give them shots, they give them pills. The whole world has gone into a convulsion. And the whole world is becoming dope addicts and becoming people that are drunkards and staggering around. And they're becoming prostitutes and whoremongers. And they're becoming robbers, thieves, all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, I passed by a little sign the other day in the last day or two. And I believe, if I saw it right, I'm just kind of trying to remember. But if I saw it right, I believe it said 44,000 abortions every day around the world. 44,000. You say, well, Brother Pike, now what does that tell you? When you think of something like that, how does that affect you? Well, I tell you how it affects me. It affects me in this way. It makes me to believe the Word of God even more than ever before, if that is possible. I believe it with all my heart as far as I know. I trust that I do. I believe it with all my heart. And I love the Lord with all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. He's the only source of life. He is the giver of life. And when I hear things like that, it just makes me to know that the Word of God is true. When the Bible said the last generation would be a sinful generation and an adulterous generation, and the thought arises in my heart, why is it a sinful generation? First of all, why is it a sinful generation? It is a sinful generation because we have come to know what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, you cannot sin till you know what is right and what is wrong. And the Bible teaches that where there is no knowledge of sin, then sin is not imputed. But when there comes a knowledge of sin, then it is charged against the people. Because if there comes a knowledge of right and you do wrong, then as the laws of today, if you know to do the good that the law tells us to do and you don't do it, then they put you in jail. Something happens to you, they take you into court. See, so we've come as a people to knowledge. We know to do good, and people aren't doing good. And they're still fighting, they're still lusting, they're still stealing each other's wives and husbands. They're married one time and two times and three times, and some aren't married at all. They're just living like animals. You know, and so then we've come to the knowledge of good, but rather than going the way that God has told us to go, what have we done? As a people, we have went the other way, and we're getting that We're getting worse and worse every day. So that means that that glorious illumination of the wonderful presence of God that He gave to Adam and Eve went away when Eve disobeyed God and in unbelief. Instead of obeying God in unbelief, went her willful way, and Adam submitted to it. And since that time, there's been heartaches and troubles and death and sorrows and all of these kind of things. And that illumination was taken away as to that wonderful image in which we were made, that spiritual image. And God said to the people, through the prophets, He said, you cover with a covering, but not of me. And He put them on skins. He took away that covering, and today they're no more than beasts. And then when Jesus came, He brought this wonderful illumination back through a new birth, not as to the outer man, but to the inner man. That if you're born again, this wonderful image goes into your heart. The law and the prophets until John, since then the kingdom has been preached, men press their way into it. And your inter-spiritual angelic being is translated into the Spirit of Christ, which Christ is on the inside of you. And through that, He eradicates the world out of your heart and puts the kingdom of God within you. And the Jews missed the kingdom of God because they did not receive it through the spiritual sense. And is still waiting for the return of the Lord that it might be set up as a millennium. Now, let me say just a few more words, and we're going to bring forth just a little scripture here. Now, that means that that illumination that was over Adam and Eve is within you. And you cannot be enticed out from under the illumination in that it was on them and upon them and over them. They could be enticed out by the beast, which they were. But now you cannot be enticed out when you're born again. He that is born of God cannot sin. Once he comes into the light of God, he's born again. The Bible said the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That he keepeth himself by the wonderful Holy Spirit within him, and the evil one never touches him. Now he touches him not. So inside he's saved. He's sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of the redemption of this body. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit by which thou art sealed unto the day of the redemption of the body, which is called the purchased possession. Meaning that Jesus purchased this body, even the creature, which is subject to vanity, that will be changed into the glorious liberties of God as to the image of God at the coming of that Thessalonian change that Paul speaks of. Now, but the thing is, there is an illumination present for the outer man. Though the outer man is lost off in the darkness of his intellectual reasoning and still follows hard after that side of life as to the diplomacies of life. See, and he's lost off from that wonderful light of illumination. And that light can't get to him because it will destroy him. So God has to come to us in that broken down measure of coming through Christ a little bit at a time, like nourishing a babe, until we can come to this wonderful knowledge given us, his wonderful, wonderful, incomprehensible love that is above all understanding, passes all understanding. And so this illumination that's over you, that God has given you, it is coming down like the sunlight, broken down through the clouds so that it won't be too strong for you. And it's over you by the blood of Jesus being on the mercy seat as to the blood of atonement, and will remain there until the days of the Gentiles are finished, as to the church age is passing by through this time in patience of God, as the ministry ministers to you and beckons to you to come out of the darkness of that intellectual wilderness of that world of freaks and problems and death and all of these freakish things that people are doing. Come out of her. Come out of her, he said, and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Reading in 103rd in the book of Psalms, David of old said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. As the first and second verse. I said these things as just a forethought to you tonight, because this is the first night of our meeting here. It's supposed to be three nights, unless the Lord should say different. And I say these things to you as a foreword, that I might carefully lay down a little plan, a little thought, a little systematic means of understanding, that you that are not acquainted with God as to spiritual things can understand why things are in the condition that it's in today, and why we find our situation as it is, and why we cannot cope with it. You know, everybody is writing a book. Everybody is preaching a sermon. Everybody's testifying. Or everybody's doing something. And they are telling you, and they're telling me, that they are the man that God raised up. And they are the women that God raised up. And that they've got the answer to the situation. And what you need to do is legislate and put them into office, whether it's in the president's office, whether it's in the legislator's office as senators, or whether it's in the local offices as the sheriff or the law, whatever it might be. But everybody has the answer. And at this particular time here in the United States, we've got the man Perot that's running for office. And he also feels like he has the answer. A man that I believe has a few billion dollars in it. You know, you would think in terms as to say, well, my, if he could get a few billion dollars, then of course he would be the man. You know, but still, whether it's Peru, whether it's Bush, whether it's Reagan, whether it's whoever, as to those are past, or those that's coming, or those that are, there's one thing about it I can truthfully tell you tonight, that none of them has the answer to your problem. There is no living human being in the world today that has the answer to your problem. And the Bible said, and in that day he alone, speaking of Jesus, shall be exalted and nobody else. And like a song we wrote, I'm a songwriter, and like a song we wrote, that if they would give him his place on the throne, he would make everything right. It's going to take the Lord Jesus, and it's going to take us turning back to God if we ever get peace in the earth. All of the paths of God are peace. And the Bible said, he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. And if we ever have peace in the world, we're going to have to start with an individual thing. We're not going to start with a nation. We're not going to start with a people. We're not going to start with a society. We're not going to start with a group of people or somebody that's got together that feels that they have the answer. And money isn't going to do it. Prestige isn't going to do it. All the greatness of the world isn't going to do it as to human beings. But it's going to take God to do it. God created this world. God created me and you, and God made everything in this world, and it's going to take God to run it. God is the only one that can handle humanity. I preached around the world, and I preached to all kinds of people. I preached in the dark places of Africa, and I've seen the multitudes come, and I've seen them come in the places like Philippines and whatever. And folks, there's one thing that I'm convinced of, and that is there is nobody that can handle God's people. There's no living human being or no nation or no group of people or leaders or whatever that can handle God's people. It's going to take God to handle the great multitude of people, because everywhere in the world today, I find people with a different frame of mind. Under this tent tonight, as to how many we've got here, I can guarantee you that if I begin to analyze your thoughts, I'd find out that you was living in a world of your own. And you'd have your own thoughts tonight. And the mind is a world, and it's a world of thoughts, and it's just as big as you want it to be. You can exercise your mind to go beyond the stars. You can exercise your mind to go down to the depths, into the very depths of the earth. You can exercise your mind to reach from one corner of the earth to the other corner, or completely go around the circumference. But the only problem with the mind is, the Bible said we serve God with the mind. The only problem with the mind is that you serve the devil with the mind too. Those that don't serve God with the mind, they serve the devil with the mind. There's no in between. You are either in the world of the knowledge of Satan and controlled by the mind of Satan, or you're serving God. And the Bible said the people of this world as a whole, this is Bible, he that's in the world as a whole, the people, all nations, that's in the world today as a whole, all of these people that's in the world today as a whole, they are under the constraint of Lucifer, and the Bible said, and they are taken into captivity at his will, whenever he desires. And they find themselves in their thinking capacity doing just exactly what the human senses compel them to do. And these five human senses that we have, that scientists tell us that we have, as the hearing and taste and smell and feeling and all of these kind of things, the people as a whole, they are led by these senses, and according to their human reflex and human desire, they are motivated and moved, each person individually, and must give an account to God for the same. Because whatever their senses want to do as the stimulation of the flesh, they follow that.
and we leave off with God, and we don't exercise ourselves in God, nor in the spiritual things of God, and we think that we're not spiritual at all to that extent, but we are far more spiritual than we could ever imagine, in that we're taken by the devil and through the powers of the devil, and we demonstrate as every day of our life, and Satan projects himself through the human senses as a spiritual being to confiscate and to take control of our wife, of our children, of our little ones, and all of our ways of life. And we find that we are in bondage as a beggarly, to the beggarly elements of the world, as a bonds child. As a bonds child, you are, as to the creature, which is the outer being, subject to bondage of the world, to the beggarly elements of this world. And Paul said these are beggarly elements in the world when compared to the heavenly treasures. That means that you are in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world, as to your taste, as to your hearing, as to your smell, as to your feeling, as to the thrust of life, through the exuberance of your own doings and the activation of that power of Satan. That is the god of this world and the god of intellectual reasoning in darkness. You are in subjection to this power, and the Bible said he motivates you and moves you whenever he gets ready. And so then, with this kind of control in the world, how can we ever have peace? The Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. And the Bible says if they ever cry peace, then sudden destruction will come. For there is no peace to the wicked. It doesn't matter. Even at this time, it looks like we're about to build peace. It looks like everything is going to be peaceful. But when you travel around the world the way I do, and you hear conferences, at closed conferences, and you hear people that are in leadership, and people that are talking, and when you're with the upper echelon and the lower echelon, you're with the money men and you're with the common people, you find out real quick there is no peace. Can the scriptures be broken? Can you actually break the scriptures? Doesn't the Bible say that there is no peace to the wicked? Isn't that right? Is God then angry with the wicked? The Bible says, this Bible here tells me that God is angry with the wicked every day. There is not one day that God passes but what he's angry with the wicked. But still, in spite of all of this, he said, it's not my will that the wicked should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. He said, but I do say this to the people, that all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. He said, and to all nations, what I say to one, I say to all. And I have fashioned all men's hearts alike, that they should seek after God. And some of them's got entangled with paganistic gods. In India, they've got millions of gods. And though it doesn't look like it in America, it certainly doesn't look like that in America they've got millions of gods. But in America, I suppose that America's got more gods than any country I've ever been into in my life. They've got a god from an automobile to a home to a woman to a man. And they've got all kinds of things. Did you know whatever you worship, that's a god? And even if I look at TV or the movies or whatever it might be, or read books, whatever it might be, and I get my mind involved in something that's pertaining to the fictions of the world or the people of the world or the past or the future, and I set my gold and admiration and affection on anything from the legislative side of life to the Olympic side of life, I am worshiping that thing, and that is a god. Whatever I give my time to, whatever I give my mind to, whatever I give my desire to, whatever is my goal in life and my ambition in life, whatever it is to do it, that is a god. And so then America is filled with pagan gods. This is again why there's so many diseases in the world. No healing medicine today. There is no healing medicine today. You can go to the doctors and they put you on the payroll, their payroll, you know, to collect from you. And they collect from you regular. And they tell you to come back. And they get you to the dentist and they get you in a routine between the doctor, between the dentist, between the insurance man, between paying your taxes, between everything else. You are a slave to tribute and you don't have anything or any time for yourself. And we're living in such a dangerous day now that if you don't keep your senses exactly right and watch exactly what you're doing, you'll wind up in the penitentiary or you'll go to prison. I deal with thousands of youth as down through my lifetime. I deal with them and professional men. and the youth are torn all to pieces. They don't know what to do because hardly any boy that you can find anymore but what he's been in prison. He's been to jail. He's been to prison. Hasn't really done anything a lot of times. Some little old frivolous nothing, and they magnified it and made a mountain out of it. Why did they do that? Because the laws of our day, all over the world, they're corrupt. Solomon said, I looked, and in the place of the law there was corruption. I know for sure, behind the scene, I've already been back there, and I've talked with them, and I know them. And I know that it's corrupt. And I know the very things that they lock our people up for, they do and they practice. But they lock you up with a regularity to get money from you with a regularity. And they've got the parents so tore up, they don't know what to do. Because they're torn all to pieces because it just constantly robs them. I heard a judge tell a man one time, said, what I need to do is get into your billfold. I heard the words with my own ears. Who is to blame? Is the law to blame for it? Of course not. Who is to blame? We're to blame for it because we're supposed to make the law. Is then the legislative powers of the world to blame? Of course not. Why? Because even in America, the law and the government is supposed to be of the people and by the people and for the people. But see, the thing is, we take it individually that we can't do anything. We can't do anything. Somebody says, but I can't do anything, Brother Pike. But you know what? You can do something. It's like sitting in India one time at a big table in a big, fabulous mansion. And the people were sitting around this, and people from the different parts of the world was there, and reporters was there, and whatever. And there's a lady sitting there at the head of it that was in charge of this thing. And also had control of the mansion and whatever. And she started to elaborate while I was sitting there in this foreign country. And as she began to elaborate, I listened very carefully to her because I'm a good listener. And I listened, I was having a crusade there. I listened to her and I heard her express herself. And as she started to express herself, I said, lady, I said, you need to stop. And you need to take thought as to what you're saying. I said, first of all, you are a person that's a great, renowned person. I said, and your words are very effective. I said, in these listening ears, I said, it has to do with these listening ears as to what you say and the way you order your speech. And I said, when people like you or either me that has words to be said should be very considerate and very thorough in what they say and be sure that they're saying the right thing. Because just a few words can cause a real problem. And I have found myself on the plane and found myself in foreign countries. Pick up the newspaper, and I've read where they were accusing our leaders, accusing the president, and accusing others, saying that they were murderous, and they were secretly covering it up. And this was the news, and this was what they were reading, and this was what they were giving out to the people. And then we wonder why that we have the problems we have. But folks, in America, it's the same way. I've had newspaper coverage many times. And I've had the news meters to cover us on TV and newspapers. And if you don't watch in those newspapers, I don't care what kind of conversation you have. They'll finagle around, as the world uses the word, and they'll get in there and they'll get their little bit in there. And they will just rip and snort and tear everything to pieces. And in America, it's a constant thing of attacking any leader that raises up. If they don't like him, they attack him. And you know what the sad part is? That those people don't know what they're talking about. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I think they do. No, they don't know what they're talking about. I've worked as a newspaper man. And I know, just like one that covered us over in India, when this man was their leading sports writer and he came out, he said, Brother Pike, I talked to him about God because I've had the background as a newspaper man. And he said, Brother Pike, I have to confess. He said, the news ain't looking for nothing but something that will sell and some kind of sensation, he said, so they can make money. And folks, when you're under that kind of leadership, when you're under that kind of power, how can we ever have peace? How can we ever get together? Even Jesus said, move the talebearer and the strife will cease. So then we've got to come back to the Bible. We've got to have our minds programmed with God's Word and programmed with the great, wonderful mind that brought this world into existence, that made us and wants to unify us, to bring us into one mind and one accord, even the mind of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, which was God personified in a human form that came down as a great, wonderful Spirit to come to us and into our hearts through the shed blood of that son and the offering of that body of that lamb. So then tonight we need God, and from God comes faith. And from faith comes the desire of your heart. The Bible said that if you believe, you can say whatever you want to in your heart. Just say it, don't doubt, believe it, and it'll come to pass, and you'll have whatsoever you desire. This is the kind of love is given unto us. But it also tells us that if we have anything against anyone, any ought, anything against any person, that we should get it out of our heart, that we should confess our sins before God. We should confess our wrongdoings, come to God, and accept God and be filled with God's mind and with God's spirit and God's ways. And then we could come together as a great world. Our diseases would be gone. Our heartaches would be gone. Our troubles would be gone. All the fears and anxieties of life would just dissipate into nothing. But beloved friend, until we can come to one mind, even God's mind, in one accord, and that is to do the will of God, then we're not going to have this wonderful life of God. And if you don't have the life of God, what happens to us? Go by the graveyard, and there you'll find the end of all flesh. Rich, poor, whether they're great, whether they're mighty, whether they're ignorant, it doesn't matter as to the appearance of their stature. You go by there and you'll find that's the end of all flesh. Now, if a man doesn't want God, and if he doesn't want the word of life, where can he go? 70 left Jesus, and Jesus turned to the 12 and said, "Will ye also go away?" And they said, "Unto whom shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life." The Bible said he sent his word and healed them. By his word he cast out the unclean spirits. It's by God's word that he spoke everything into existence and upholds all things by his word. And he has sent his word as the words of life. He said, "My words are life. My words are spirit, and my words are life. And he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation." So then tonight we're gathered way out here in this field, this dusty field, just for a few minutes out here. Not to try to keep you long or to weary you, but we're gathered here that we might indoctrinate you, not only here but around the world. We are here by television, by radio, by the printed page. We're fortunate that our ministry is in about every major language or more than every major language of the world. And we're trying to do our little bit. We're just one individual, but we're trying to do our bit. And in trying to do our little bit, it has affected thousands upon thousands of people around the world. In trying to program their mind to the right way and bring them to something in God to where they can have the prosperities of life and the blessings of life and the peace of life, then we have tried to do our little bit. Folks, as I said, in this world, the youth can't even drive down the street without being endangered of going to prison and going to the electric chair. Because if you run into somebody now and kill them, you don't have to be drunk like a story in the paper just a few days ago. You go to the electric chair or you go to prison, sometimes for life, when you didn't mean to, but through the carelessness of your mind, through the instability of your mind, and not having God on your mind, then the devil does this. He takes you into captivity. See, and the Bible teaches that he will do that, and you will be in a terrible circumstance to where nobody can help you. I thought about a boy just a few days ago. I've talked to this boy in the past, and he's not very old. I talked to him and I tried my best to reason with him. And he has great respect for my ministry. He has great respect for what I say. But the thing is, he went his way and he done his thing. And within a few days, I heard that he had committed murder. Got with some girl. And because of this girl's boyfriend, he wasn't satisfied with it. And the girl, you know, some girls today is just as frivolous as they can be. They'll drink beer and do anything and throw their virtues to the wind and they could care less. And if they can get two boys bumping heads or fighting, they'll do it. I know of one case where a girl got three boys shot, killed, two of them killed and the other one almost killed just because of her foolishness with another boy. See, and women do that with men too. Women like to see men butt heads and fight too, you know. And they get these demon spirits in them and get a hold of this and they get all glassy-eyed with whiskey or with beer or drink or whatever. And men do the same thing. They do the same thing. But folks, that isn't right. And when you do get spiced up, you want to remember that you're out of control up here. And when you get like that, you may wind up in the electric chair, or you may wind up in prison, or it's for sure that God is going to back off from you. He won't have any fellowship with you, and he's going to back off from you, and the devil is going to strike you, and you're going to have cancer, you're going to have all kinds of diseases, and there's nothing going to stop that, and you're going to be cut to pieces through amputations and through operations and all kinds of things. You say, well, that's the answer, Brother Pike. I had the man that operated on, I was talking to the doctor that operated on Eisenhower at the time of his operation. And that doctor told me, said, I have operated many times, Brother Pike, said, I have cut many people and I've operated. He said, but I know now all of it wasn't necessary. He said, and I didn't have any thought as to appreciation of a person until they ripped me open. And said, when they operated on me, said, I began to think different when I saw the ugly scars and saw all of these things. See, people are after money. And they experiment with you and they run you through. And I know of numbers of cases that where they've gone to the doctor to get medicine and then go by another doctor's office. I happen to know this for sure. And go by another doctor's office and the doctor said, if you take it, it'll kill you. And some of them was not fortunate enough to get by another doctor's office. They experiment. I know of a case in the last few days where they told a young girl, said it's such and such and such, and she went to them, and she'd done that about two or three times, and every time that she goes to them, there's something different. There's something different. See, they really don't know, like an automobile mechanic. He don't know a lot of time. He just experiments at your expense. Like a girl I was talking to a few days ago that took her car for six solid months as a brand new car, took it back and took it back and took it back. And they kept telling her, well, this is wrong and this is wrong. And it cost her $100, $200, whatever it was. And to give her no consideration. And it wasn't that at all. See, it wasn't that at all. But there's one thing, beloved friend, that's right. And that's this word. This has been proven down through the years. It's the great, wonderful word of Almighty God that created you and me and brought us into existence and created all things by this word. And it's never been found wrong. Never has it been altered. Never has it been changed. It's the same to a thousand generations. You can't depend on anybody's word. Not even my word as a natural man. But folks, you can depend on this word. And if a man is a real minister of God, the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. He won't come testifying of himself. If he does, his witness is not true. And tonight in this little congregation here, and for this few minutes, I've testified to you of the wonderful word of God. Even the word of life is given to you freely. And the Bible said, call upon the Lord while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. For all nations that forget God, he said, I shall turn them into hell. All nations, the gospel is going around the world. And by satellite and whatever, we've had the privilege to be on satellite. By satellite and the other things, the gospel is gone around the world. And the end is upon us. And we need to do something. As a matter of fact, we are at the end of the world. And if I went into the spiritual side of things, I could spend all night long with you without any problem and never let up. I've done this. I went all night long, never let up. And I could go all night long with you and never let up and show you by the calendars of the day, by the signs of the time, by what's happening to the people, and show you by the word of God that you don't hardly have any time left. I mean, that's close. Real close. It's so close that some people who have come to know it has literally been shocked. People that was not even God conscious. And it's that close. So we need to do something. And besides that, if it isn't that close as to the way you would think, it's that close in the sense that you only have one heartbeat between you and eternity. If this little heart doesn't pick up in here as to one breath, just a breath or two, and that's the end of you. Just a good shock. That's the end of you. A disease has to contaminate the bloodstream, and that's the end of you. Doctors, medicine, whatever. See, that doesn't make any difference. And so then we know that we're going the way of all the earth unless we call on God and get eternal life. And that's the thing tonight. That's the thing tonight that we need to consider. All right, let's stand together. Appreciate your attention. Being here with you is my privilege. We'll be here for a couple of nights more. The Lord willing. And if you come out and be with us, we'll be glad to talk with you and entreat you in the things of Christ. How wonderful it is to be a Christian.
Serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, in the wonderful Holy Spirit. And it's so wonderful. I find it such a thrill as I ride down the road and travel around the world. My wife and I, we travel all the time. We fly so much that it gets real wearisome. But traveling around the world, I find it such a joy, such a jubilant, such an outstanding thing when I lay down at night and I realize that I have eternal life and that God is with me. And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to His purpose. For the Bible said, them that He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And them that He foreknew, He also did call. And them that He called, He also did justify. And them that He justified, the Bible said He also did glorify. In that He has sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And the Bible said He has perfected forever or made perfect them that are sanctified. And we are His sanctified people, having been sanctified once and for all, the Bible tells us, by that Lamb of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ, without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we, Brother Taylor? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Can you sing that with me? For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me like this now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest it may sweep about over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, and I need Thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need Thee. Now we're going to sing this verse, and the altars are open. So don't turn Him away. So don't turn Him away. Oh, He has come back to your hearts once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need Him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear that loving voice, and don't turn Him away. Let's sing this little chorus together, and while we're singing this, the altars are open. He was here all the time. Sing that with me now. For my Lord was here all
the time, waiting patiently in line, and he was here all the time.
Let's everybody come to the altar tonight while we're singing now.
And he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joys that flood my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole.
Sing that one more time now.
For he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joys that flood my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole.
Can you lift your hands up now while we're singing and praising the Lord? The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And tonight, wouldn't you like for God to lay his wonderful hands upon you? Just think now, if the president called to you for your service, or just think tonight, if some great, mighty person called to you for your service, wouldn't that thrill you? But tonight, the great, mighty God of heaven and earth that has made everything within the world, he's calling for your service tonight. You're the apple of his eye, and he's calling for you. And he wants you tonight. He wants to bless you, and he wants to use you tonight. He needs a helping hand. He needs your service tonight. And he's calling you to this wonderful service. Folks, if you do everything the world has to offer, if you become everything that the world has to offer as a great, wonderful celebrity of praise as before the men's eyes of this world or the women's eyes of this world, really, when you're finished, you really haven't done anything. You really haven't done anything. When you finish, that's not anything. The grave is still waiting, and death is still waiting, and you still go the way of all the earth. And then someone else comes along as a great celebrity, and then they take your place. See, but when you belong to God, no one takes your place. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, no one takes your place. When you are God's celebrity, you are eternally God's celebrity, and you never change. And eternally and forever, you belong to God, and you are God's wonderful, wonderful individual that is doing the great, mighty things for God. Oh, folks, I tell you, you're talking about taking a trip as in the world. You're talking about going out into space as to this world. And you're talking about getting into some adventure of this world. You don't know what adventure is. You've never been in adventure. When you venture out into faith and when you go out into the wonderful world of spirit and you see the great glorious things out there, as to behold that wonderful pearl of a great price, you never want to look at this world again. Paul went out there being caught up to the third heaven. He said this world is nothing but beggarly elements. He said there's nothing in this world except beggarly elements. And he said these beggarly elements in the world, I suppose that this wonderful riches of God that's in your earthen vessel is not made to be even compared to the beggarly elements of this world, and as to these things in comparison to that wonderful treasure. So tonight, you already have this when you call on Christ. You can have it tonight in your earthen vessel. You can have this heavenly power, this virtue. God has called us to virtue and glory. You can have this glory that will outshine the noonday sun, that will excel all of your imagination, for the Bible says that God has placed this wonderful understanding of God so higher above you than the heavens is the earth. And yet it's made available to you through the blood of Jesus, through faith, and through the simplicity of God. For the Bible said that he hath revealed these things unto babes, and the Bible teaches that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God hath perfected praise. Something, lift your hands up tonight. Let's worship the Lord. Can you? Come on, folks. Let's worship the Lord tonight. This is the first night of the service, and we want to worship God together. Let's lift our hands up and love the Lord. The Bible teaches that God inhabits the praise of His people. God is the Spirit. And God is coming to this tent tonight. We're two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus. Then the Lord comes into our midst. And here He is tonight to save and to heal, to forgive and to do great and mighty things for us because we are His children. I feel faith already. I feel God moving tonight. I feel faith being stirred tonight. Let's worship the Lord. Can you lift your hands up and serve God? Can you worship the Lord? Now we sing this little chorus together. Let's worship the Lord. Can we? I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave His Son to die in their stead. And He gave His life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for His wonderful grace. Sing this with me now. Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge or the river someday. Gonna see His sweet face.
With him.
I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Right, let worry said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, with pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Sing it with me now. Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river someday. Gonna see His sweet face.
With him,
I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His mark. One more time together. Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river someday.
Shall
see His sweet face.
With him,
I'll abide there forever.
Thank the Lord.
I want to sing that again, and I want you to give Him a wave offering tonight. Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over someday. Gonna see His sweet face.
With him.
We'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. One more time now. I read where He said, let not your heart be troubled. For I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, with your walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Sing it with me now. Thank God. There's a bridge over the river someday.
See
His sweet face. With Him. Gonna abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous. Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes? Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river someday. Gonna see His sweet face.
With him.
Gonna abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. And I will praise Him. Can you lift your hands and close your eyes and worship the Lord tonight?
And
give Him glory, all ye people. Oh, His blood that's washed away. Once again now. And I will praise Him. And I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb full of sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye. For His blood that washed
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. Lift your hands up and close your eyes. The angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be no more.
Once again now.
For time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more.
Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes?
The angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time
once again with our hands lifted up and our eyes closed now,
and on will praise him, my will praise. Praise the Lamb for sinners.